Hey, a huge, like a capital H-U-G-E, huge shout out to Big Pipe Broadband, who have sponsored this show right from the get-go.
Since day one.
That's
amazing.
They are believers.
They are day one, boo.
Big Pipe right now, if you join with Big Pipe right now, you can get a month's free internet or any connection by using the code Big Pipe Comedy. That's all caps, all run together.
Big Pipe Comedy. If you love the internet, you love to laugh, this sounds perfect for you.
Yeah.
You get a month free internet.
So you just type that in at the checkout. A $49 connection fee may apply. The code again for a month's free internet is Big Pipe Comedy at bigpipe.co.nz.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome along to this week's episode of
the Mail Game.
Mail.
You know what's weird is that I think I always used to do the welcome alongs at the start, and you've really taken them.
It's a new chapter. It's a new me. I was gonna say it's a new year, but it's not really, unless we've got new listeners and they're listening from this and like the beginning of 2019.
True. Whoa! Oh my god! If you're listening to this in 2019, can I just say?
What's it like?
How are we doing?
Yeah, are we huge yet?
Are we big? Do we make it?
it's crazy that everything on the internet lasts forever, really. Like, apart from like...
Yeah, but do you ever get scared that it's all going to go away? Like, especially like, because now I'm like, oh yeah, just check your photos up on the cloud or whatever. And I'm like, what if it all just goes in one go?
But that's like a big house fire and you lose all your photos as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
You run the risk of anything. And the main lesson from that is make your memories inside of you.
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
How do you do that?
I have no idea. Mm. It sort of sounds sexual, like, oh my god, a wallet fell off a thing and just gave me literally a heart attack.
Whoa.
I think I was getting like insightful, and then I went to a special place and then like a noise happened and I just freaked
out. It's also like just gone night, like the sky's changed to sort of a blue black.
Mm, it's sexy. Mm. It's a full moon and there's a werewolf on the loose. Hey,
what? Why are you telling me? Why are we recording this podcast?
Sorry, a queer wolf.
Thank God.
He won't eat us.
Well, tell him I'm here and I'm waiting.
You ready for this week's fact of the game?
I'm always ready.
Okay, so here we go. This isn't really like gay, like this isn't like a gay fact. Like I found it on a gay website.
Yeah.
Called shout out to The Gaily Grind. Do you know how I found this website, by the way?
How?
There's a guy on my Facebook who constantly shares like really perverted articles, like quite publicly on his Facebook. It'll be like interview with a man with the longest cock in the world, or like I suffer from boners, like really intimate stuff that he's obviously like reading in like a horny way.
Yeah.
And then he'll just share it on his Facebook. I'm like, that is such courage.
That is amazing. It's
like,
very bold.
I wouldn't have that cut. But it's also like, please stop posting this, because I check Facebook at work. Oof. And these articles are like everywhere.
I've definitely got guys on my Facebook feed that'll share things like an article that's like, women don't actually need to orgasm, you know, like something like that. Like,
your friends rock. Women don't actually need to orgasm.
And they
suck your cock and it's fine.
Yeah, and on the top they're like, interesting read.
Oh god. Here we go. So this is off the Gaily Grind. Shout out. Up until the mid 1930s, it was illegal to publicly flaunt the male nipple in public.
That's amazing.
It's so
That's
strange.
That's a crazy fact. What constitutes publicly flaunting?
Men were forced to wear nipple-covering swimsuits prior to 1936. Oh, this is American-related. When it became legal to expose nipples in New York State.
Wow.
In the early 1930s, a group of men gathered on Coney Island to fight for their right to swim and some... This feels terrible considering like all the free the nipple stuff that's
happening now. Online. It's taking another like 80 years.
And we're like, this is outrageous. But then also like, it's just always happening right now to women all the time. In the early 1930s, a group of men gathered on Coney Island to fight for their right to swim and sunbathe in shirtless swim trunks. See, this is nothing to do with gay culture, but it's on this website because they're like, you're horny, you like nipples.
Yeah,
like, it's so wild.
All right.
In 1935, another group of brave male protesters.
Thank you. I just want to say, take a little moment out to thank these people for their brave work.
Got themselves arrested in Atlantic City for hitting the beach while bearing their torsos. Then, in 1936, these men legally gained their right to show their nipples in public, laying a foundation for existing New York State laws that allow women to be topless wherever a man is legally allowed to be, Yahoo reports. What? That took a jump.
There's a leap into the future.
Today, women can still be charged with public indecency, disturbing the peace, or lewd behavior for going topless.
Whoa.
Oh, man. Louisiana specifies that female breast nipple in any public place or place open to the public view with the intent of arousing sexual desire or which appeals to I've never seen that word before, prurient interest, or is patently offensive, can receive up to 3 years in jail for
the first time offense. And that's the current
law. Or a $2,500 fine. Yeah, that's fucked.
That's crazy.
And then this goes into a big Free the Nipple article, which is great, but we won't dive into that.
That's so weird that the like intent for, like, what do you define as intent for arousal then?
Like, basically, if a man's like, I'm aroused by that.
Yeah, they'll be like, well, you probably weren't intending for that to happen.
She's like, literally.
And she's like, no, I just didn't want tan lines.
Yeah, a mozzie jumped down my top and I had to, like, get it out.
Have you ever sunbathed naked?
Never.
No, neither, but this ballet.
Go off.
Ballet dancer that I do.
This
follow,
porn I watched.
No, I follow this ballet dancer. His name's Reese something. He's so good looking. And he often does Instagram stories where he's sunbathing and then he, like, puts his phone up and then you see that his butt's out. I'm like, damn, that's brave.
Yeah, I guess it's brave. I guess the sun is, like, safer over there. But I'm like, that's a great way to just get a really burnt ass quickly.
If I did that in New Zealand, I would get so burnt because that skin has never seen the sun.
And yeah. Also, you've got to get someone to apply sunblock to your ass. Like, at least you can do it. I guess you can do it yourself because
you can absolutely do it.
When in saying it now, it's easy. The only part that is hard to put sunblock on is the middle of your back.
Yeah.
But even then, like, it doesn't feel that hard. It always feels impossible at the beach. I'm just like, how am I going
to
fix this?
I need someone else to do this.
Yeah. There should be a machine that, like, squirts sunblock out like a wall and then you rub up, like a post that you rub up and down. That is literally the smartest thing I've ever come up with.
I can't imagine anything worse than being at the beach and looking over and seeing a guy, like, rubbing his back up a weird machine.
A quick rub up and down, but you get a firm application of sunblock.
No. I disagree with this. And who's paying for this machine?
The council.
Is it coin operated? No. No, 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 no.
Because sun safety is our problem.
Do you know how easy it is to be like, hey, friend I've come to the beach with, can you put some... Even, sometimes I have been asked by strangers to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I'm happy to help.
You're like, no sweat.
It must have been so good back in the 1930s for people with, like, kids with back knee. I was a teenager with back knee. And so I literally got worse at swimming because I was too afraid to go to the pool or the beach.
I had that crazy thing with my chest where I've only got my one pec.
Yes.
It's called Poland syndrome. And I've only got my right, I'm missing my right pectoral muscle, like your pecs. And so I was really self-conscious. I was like, I've got one man boob and nothing, like, I am a monster, and, like, we just, like, try these really weird ways of, like, disguising it. So there's, like, lots of photos of me at the beach and, like, one arm slinged over my chest. But then I, like, fully learned to love my body. But
that's great.
For a long time,
you do that too much, to be honest.
Almost, I'm like flaunting it. Yeah. But for a long time, it was like, anyway, I was like, buy me a rash shirt.
Yeah.
But god damn, I hate the feeling of a rash shirt in water. Or a t-shirt in water. I'm just like, I'm being strangled alive. Oh, we once had to do this swim safety course at intermediate school where we had to put on a full outfit and a jersey and then they chucked us in the pool.
Whoa.
And they're like, there's a boat crash. Try and survive. And then we were just like, had to, like, kind of wade in the water and like drowning in our heavy clothes.
Whoa.
And they're like, don't take them off. You need them for warmth. And so we just have to keep these clothes on, but trying to keep float while all
this
our clothes.
This is terrifying.
It was so stressful.
Also, when in 2007, I mean, obviously this didn't happen in 2017, but, like, when are you going to be on a sinking ship?
The Waihine disaster.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
So that one boat disaster.
That's true. My great grandmother was on it.
Incredible.
You forgot it, and
that's part of your history.
I know. The rich tapestry of my life. What was I just going to say? Something about swimming. Oh, I remember, like, I would try and take my shirt off, like, be the last one to do it. Like,
yeah.
Whereas now I'm like...
First off.
Yeah, I'm like, when I get into the car to drive to the beach, I'm like, it's already off. Sorry.
You recently bought a Speedo.
I did.
How was that? That's a big call. I feel like Speedo is an international culture. Like, overseas, like Europe, it's huge, so speedo culture.
Normal, yeah.
New Zealand are like, boardies, mate. Put on your fucking boardies.
I reckon, yeah. And I'm always too afraid to wear it unless there's at least one other person doing it already at the beach.
You're right.
Which is hard.
Do you prefer swimming in a speedo?
Yes. Here's the thing. You're talking about swimming with a shirt on. The difference between a speedo and shorts is the same difference. Like,
right.
You get no drag back. It's
basically
amazing.
Basically, we were born to swim naked.
Yeah,
that's and anything true. Else is just like artificial and you just don't need it.
Yeah. I don't think it's good for, like, it makes me very anxious about how my body looks though. And so
it's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
I was watching an episode of Fire Island, that new logo show. It's not new, it's kind of old. It's a reality TV show, see, on Fire Island in, like, overseas in America, where, like, all the gays go and, like, it's like Waiheke but full of gay men.
Yeah.
And they're all in speed, like every single one of them is in like the same speedo. And I was like, that just makes me want to, I just, that freaks me out.
Yeah.
Like, not that I have a problem with speedos, people wearing speedos, but I just like, I just do not have the confidence for it.
Mm.
There's so much that you have to have in order in terms of your, like, I actually know.
You don't.
Those are stupid body expectations. Like anyone can wear a speedo, but I just like don't feel comfortable in it.
It's a very, yeah. I don't know if I'll wear mine again.
Maybe. You've still got it, and there's still another summer, and you could just like get that confidence
I'm
back.
I'm going to Tonga next week. Maybe I'll wear them.
Pull it out, mate.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long. It's very small. Just whip it out.
Yeah. Cool.
Speaking of speedos, the theme of this week's episode is heroes and villains.
Yes. And
did you like that? Perfect segue.
Absolutely. Well, because there's definitely been a hero or a villain who's worn speedos. Robin. Batman and Robin. I feel like he's kind of wearing little green speedos.
Fuck, I have such a throb for Robin.
Mm.
Like, whoever plays Robin as well.
Chris O'Donnell was very good looking.
And when Joseph Gordon-Levitt was like the promise of Robin at the end of, I was like, damn, he'd be hot as Robin as well. Yeah.
Jim Marlon Wayans was meant to be Robin in the Tim Burton ones, but then
The kooky.
I've been multiple times. I mean, this is just a terrible image of how the movie industry works, but Billy Dee Williams, black actor, was going to be Two-Face, and they replaced him with Tommy Lee Jones, and Marlon Wayans was going to be Robin, and they replaced him with Chris O'Donnell. Whitewashing. I mean, it's not whitewashing because those roles weren't necessarily any race of beginning. Yeah, but still bad.
They still stink.
Still
isn't it?
Sucks.
But why? It's an interesting, like, it's kind of a random theme, but it's brought out of a conversation we're having over Messenger, right?
A great app.
Huge shout out to Facebook Messenger.
Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg, if you're listening.
Please.
Thank you.
Give us $10 billion. About the depiction of villains and, like, basically iconic Disney movies, but, like, ultimately all sort of movies, really.
Yes.
And how they're all slightly camp and a little bit gay.
I would say not even slightly. I would say they're full-on camp and very gay. Mm. Almost every single villain ever.
Yeah.
Really? As soon as someone's a villain, and I guess it's like because you get to like choose scenery of the villain, right? Like, it's like as the actors portraying villains, they're often like, the attitude is you get to go as big as you can. And going big means basically that people end up going real camp.
I wonder if this harks back to like pantomime Danes. The pantomime days.
Oh, pantomime Danes is a theatre company with just dogs.
Oh my god. Dogs and wigs.
Yeah.
I love it. Do you know what I would kill for?
What?
A dog and a pantomime horse. So you've got like one dog and then another dog who's stuck at the back of the horse.
Oh, where do those legs go?
Out the other end. I don't know. I haven't thought that bit through.
Okay, cool. You'd kill for that.
I'd kill for it.
I would kill someone to see that. I would literally
kill the first person I next see.
Yeah.
No one in this room. You're safe, Patrick, our new producer. Because you're too bloody cute, mate. Because they're like pantomimes often done by theatrical societies. Societies. Filled with gay men.
Yes.
And
really? What?
What? And those men usually cast as very good performers and will be cast as a villain and will often give like a very kind of campy performance.
Mm.
And I wonder if that's where it starts.
Might be,
because there's something very pantomimey about, like, you know, like all of Disney's villains, say.
Yeah.
Jafar is very, like, villain-esque, and
I guess like the idea of being like openly villainous as well, like that's not really something that exists in real life. I mean, it does a little bit, but like but yeah, being openly a villain and only
I guess like
you're
being
a villain,
like, yeah, no, you're right, it doesn't true. Like, no one's really...
That's a theatrical thing to do.
So people are now like, I'm just honest and frank. Like,
yeah,
like,
I'm just raw.
The Toni Lahren, is that what her name is? That horrible... Oh. She's like a villain.
She's an absolute villain.
But she's not painting herself like... Like, she doesn't have like a cape on.
Kellyanne Conway's a bit of a villain in a way that I weirdly... kind of she's obviously evil, but I still admire her a little bit.
She's a little bit camp, like,
yeah, she
just
is.
The way she's sort of put together,
well, she reminds me of, so like the number one villain that I really want to talk about today is one of my favorite things of all time, which is Cruella de Vil, particularly not in the animated movie, but portrayed by Glenn Close
in
101 Dalmatians and 102 Dalmatians.
So good. It's coming back, eh? They're really remaking it.
Oh, Emma Stone. Ugh.
I know.
It's weird because
I'm not a fan of her anymore.
Yeah, I've gone off as well.
It sucks.
The weird thing is, like, I don't think she's ever been bad. I don't think I've ever seen her be bad, but I just...
She's, you know what? She's very theatrical and therefore might actually be great in this role. But she ain't Glenn Close.
She ain't no Glenn Close.
Like, just get Glenn Close to do it again.
Bring her back. She'd be so keen.
I love Glenn Close.
Same. She's amazing.
She's such a great performer.
Her entrance in 101 Away, where you kind of like see her shoes first, and then you see like her back of a shot. You don't see her face for a long time. I also love it when her hair goes into kind of like the big kind of afro. It gets all like done up.
It's such a look, like Cruella's look,
with the black on one side and the white on the other,
and just like her coat, and then she's wearing those like amazing boots. And I feel like whoever designed that, like when the 101 Dalmatians first came out, which is like ages ago, like they had the eye for what, like they were like, she's gonna have amazing fashion. That's the crazy thing with these villains, is they're always dressed so well.
To
like Maleficent is like a banging look.
Gorgeous. Imagine that.
Even
coming down Jafar, the right
way. Like, you're like, you look great. You're well put together. You're neat. You're tidy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's a strange one, but like Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame, the old priest dude.
He's
very gay.
Yeah, he's super gay.
But he's really neat. Like, he's like real. No, there's no like tattered sort of.
That's true.
He's all tucked in and he's ready to go destroy the world. And
I love the like commitment. Like, so Cruella de Vil is committed to wearing just black and white at all times.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah. There's dedication.
If I knew someone who did something like that in real life, I mean, like, the people that I know, mainly I know people that just like commit to wearing black and only black. And that is, and it's legit. They always have great clothes. They always look good.
It's like, I don't know, somehow ended up with a wardrobe full of Zambezi and it's all black. Ugh. But they're always like, oh, I'm so boring. You're like, you know, you're not.
You look great.
You know, you've spent lots of money.
Yeah.
If I met someone who only wore black and white, I would not be friends with them, I don't think. I'd be like, we can't be friends.
Really?
I'd be like, I'm just into like checkerboard. I'm just like, done. I can't do this.
Yeah. It's not something, like, you would notice it right away. It's not something that would slow that you'd be like, wait a second. You'd be like, because not many people wear just black and white.
Mm.
Although, if you were in like black dress pants or white t-shirt and like... Doc Martens.
And then like Vans, the black and white
checkerboard Vans. Oh, God, yuck.
It's a bad.
That is the worst look. If you're wearing that right now, burn your
This
clothes.
Is like slight shade to one of our dear friends who used for a while used to wear like white t-shirts and black suspenders
and
like
a top hat.
He will never listen to this, but it's very funny.
Yeah. No, he likes this podcast.
Oh, whoops.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, there that goes.
Yeah.
That
friendship's down the Googler.
That 10-year-old friendship, done. Toast.
Who do you remember as the first villain that you truly loved?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, easy. Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, huge one. Great one.
Thank you.
Iconic look.
Yeah. Very camp as a
super
as
camp.
A performance. But
oh
also, to be honest, every performance in The Wizard of Oz is camp.
As hell.
Like, every one of her friends is like the gayest. The countdown's like, yeah, put him up. Like, so gay. The Tin Man as well. Oh, like, and the Munchkins. It's all. It's just the gayest film of all time.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Wicked Witch of the West, that performer, I've watched her audition. I've forgotten her name. But her audition tape as well is really incredible.
The I'm melting moment is...
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And she's frightening, but she's... It's a good look.
Yeah.
She's kind of ugly. Like, they've given her, like, a scary nose and stuff, like, and the green skin.
Yeah, and she's, like, hunched over.
Yeah,
she doesn't stand with
pride. Oh, she's sort of, yeah. Do you know who also were quite gay in that film and kind of villainous? Her henchmen?
The monkeys.
No, the oh, wee, oh. they're like oh, soldiers yes. with the hats. Yeah. They had like green skin as well, and they were like, it was sort of, yeah, they were a little bit camp as well.
I also think the winged monkey, like if I was doing a costume for a slutty party, yeah. I might go as one of those winged monkeys from
Ghostbusters. Great.
Yeah.
A slutty Wizard of Oz party.
Yeah.
It's a great theme.
Slutty Wizard of Oz. That's so hard. Oh, no, I don't think that is that hard.
I would go as in a group of three.
Yeah.
It would be the Lollipop Guild.
Oh, amazing.
Like slutty but scary.
I go as the wizard, but you know how he pops his head out at the end? It's like a curtain, but just my dick's out.
Yeah. You're just wearing a velvet curtain and nothing else.
Yeah. Naked under a velvet curtain.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay, my favorite villain of all time.
Yeah.
Is Catwoman as portrayed by Michelle Pfeiffer in the movie Batman Returns.
Yeah,
I love it. And
actually, there's some good villains in that film.
Oh, huge. Danny DeVito as the Penguin, and yeah. Christopher Walken is like the evil businessman. But I think when I was young as well, I think I was like, I think it's because I think she's really hot. Like, she's really sexy and powerful, and I like that.
Yeah.
But now I realize it's because, like, I was admiring that in a time, kind of like, I was living through her, not living watching it, you know?
Mm. Do you know what's a funny one is Poison Ivy? Like,
amazing.
It's so amazing. But, like, was an early, like, I feel like Poison Ivy's reborn again, and like we all love Poison Ivy again, but yeah. for a while we were a bit like, she was like the Harlequin of that, like people dressed up as Poison Ivy for costumes, and you'd be like, yeah. oh, nice fucking red wig, mate, you know, like we'd kind of roll our eyes.
This fucking red wig, mate.
And it was like a bit basic, like even as like a 10-year-old I was like, Poison Ivy, get it, you know, shut up
plants suck.
You know, but it's like the go-to costume.
Yeah that's true.
But now I'm like, there should be there will be a fucking Poison Ivy movie coming out.
They're making one with all the bad girls from Batman. Like,
yeah.
Like Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy and Catwoman all together. You hate Harley Quinn?
No, I hate how everyone dresses up as Harley Quinn.
Yeah, same, it's the worst.
Like every costume place you go to, there's like heaps of like Harley Quinn outfits.
Anytime a hetero couple dresses as the Joker and the Harley Quinn,
I want to die inside.
This is...
Wait, but Heath Ledger Joker, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, but also Jared Leto Joker as well. It's pretty bad. But whenever I see a dude dressed up as the Joker, Heath Ledger Joker, I crumble.
A guy did it as his audition for drama school.
Oh, no! We had to do, you want to play a game? Like, that shit.
That's sore, isn't it?
Yeah. What's that? I feel like he's... Oh, maybe he does smile say... Smile or something. He says something stupid. You got to smile.
You want to know how I got this smile?
Fucking hell.
We're doing beautiful service to Heath Ledger. He's an incredible performance.
Amazing performer. Thank you so much for Brokeback Mountain.
That is... Heath Ledger as the Joker, though, kind of avoids being like campy, really.
Yeah, that's one that kind Doesn't of breaks he? The rule a little bit. And that's why it's one of the best...
iconic. Well, whereas Jack Nicholson's one is like campy as hell.
Everything, any Batman thing post... Christopher Nolan Batman was campy as hell.
You mean pre-Christopher Nolan?
Pre. Yes. Pre.
Isn't pre-come a weird thing? It's Jim Carrey is so camp in Batman Forever.
And infuriating.
And he's in skin-tight green.
Yes. And is he the Riddler?
Yes, he's the Riddler.
It's so funny. With like a cane?
Yeah.
Never give a villain a cane.
I know.
Yeah. Oh! She's not a villain. But amazing. Edna from The Incredibles... I just when I was like, never give a villain. But I feel like she'd take the work and she'd like design an outfit for a villain.
Yeah, she's great.
She's a great.
That's a great movie. And the bad guy's very camp in that as well.
Yep, he is.
I tried to write down a list. I was going to do some quick fire icon or tricon with you, but then my pen. I bought a beautiful pen from Muji and it leaked all over the book.
Oh no!
And all over my hand, which just goes to show that I should never be organized.
Do you have any, or literally the first one you try? Because I want to like play the game.
Okay, I didn't write. I wrote down about four in the end,
and I'll look at my phone for some as well, and I'll try not to get like distracted.
All of the ones I've written down, we've already talked about. So there you go.
Oh fucking hell! Well, are you happy?
Oh, you know who I love as a camp villains is both Robin Wright and Kevin Spacey in House of Cards.
I haven't seen House of Cards.
Oh, you
so don't
it.
Even bring it up.
I haven't watched this since past season two, so I also probably shouldn't talk about that. Very.
Actually, Jim Carrey as Count Olaf in a series of events.
And that's got so many camp performances as well. Jim Broadbent, Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Did you know, have you watched the Netflix version?
No.
It's the same director.
Really?
So it's like he got a second chance at making his vision. And it's really good as well. It's got John Cusack's amazing in it.
And Neil Patrick Harris, right?
He's good.
He ain't no Jim
Carrey.
Listen, I do like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Like, people kind of... He's creepy, but he was amazing. Ace Ventura was like heaven.
Yeah. The Grinch?
Grinch? You mean the... Yeah. Can't get enough of him. Cool. I was going to do like a weird saying or something. I'm just going to search ultimate villain of all time and see what happens. I just want of all... I wonder if it's like Hitler. That being said, they all wore Hugo Boss.
Did they? Of course they did. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, they're all like, yeah, like horror movies. That's not really what I want.
Jigsaw's quite camp, though.
Hannibal Lecter's pretty camp, to be honest. Hello, really Clarice. Camp.
Hello, Clarice.
Yeah. He's super gay, actually.
Have you ever played a villain in a play or a film?
At drama school, I had to play a Nazi.
Whoa, how's that?
Horrible. It was the worst time of my life. I had to pretend to shoot all my classmates. Drama school sucked for that reason. It was amazing for so many others, but it was like a really bad time, that one.
Was that in an actual play or just an exercise?
Here's a really funny story about that. It was like a workshop performance. Oh, so like yes, the director could like chip in every now and then, like give us notes.
Oh yeah.
So the opening of the play, there's like all these clothes on the floor. And I'm addressing all these like Jews in this ghetto. And I'm like, you know, some of these clothes are men, some are women, some are children. And then the director could at any point like yell out during the performance a note and we'd have to like take it on board.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is still in its process. Yeah. And so he's like, I start doing, some are men's, some are children, some are women's. He goes, more light. He's a German director.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. So I like took that note on board. I was like, some are men's, some are women's. Like try to make, some are children's. And what he was trying to refer to was the fact that I had missed a line, more light, and the lights were off in the theater. But I was trying to like make it like a lighter Nazi. It was so bad.
I love that. The campus villain that I played at school was also for a workshop performance. I played Malvolio in 12th Night.
Malvolio.
He is the gayest character of all time.
And he's always played by, like, the gay man of the amateur theatre society or whatever. Or the one who hasn't come out yet or whatever. I was cast as Malvolio when I was in the closet at drama school.
Yes.
And following me, another gay guy was cast as Malvolio.
Yes.
Time for the heteros to have a turn with that role.
They can have some fun with it.
They can have play around with
That's such a gay play, because also isn't Sebastian and Antonio have a little bit of a gay thing as well?
Yeah. It is a bit... Shakespeare was a bit gay though, wasn't he?
A bit.
A lot.
Oh, do you know who's a good villain who I don't think is that camp? In Pan's Labyrinth, the baddie in that.
Oh.
He like smashes a guy's face in with a bottle and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, there's been some good... villains on Orange is the New Black as well. Do you watch it?
I've watched like the first two seasons.
You got some catching up to do.
You know what happens? This is what happens with these shows.
You got some catching up to do. I've been working on my Nina Bobina Brown impression.
Oh yeah, great. I had one for a while as well.
Yeah, it's like this. Okay, before y'all come at me, I just want to say that like I've been hearing what you're saying.
That's good. That's good. I just feel like you could come in here and it's like that kind of like the little bit like
it's like your top lip is low.
I just feel like I feel really attacked right now, and I just don't want you to say that. Yeah. Everyone's kind of doesn't mind what I'm saying, but I just want to say that you don't. No.
Before you come at me, she
drove me nuts on RuPaul's.
I loved her, and then it slowly all
that
melted
crippling
away. But now she does Instagram lives every day, and I keep watching them.
Every day she's on Instagram.
She's
live,
Instagram living all the time. Oh, and she's got it in for Shay for playing Black China. Still!
Let it go.
Let it go, Nina Bobina Brown.
Basically, guys, it's hard to concentrate on heroes and villains when RuPaul's is coming to like a really... It's the vital moments of the show. But the grand finale is like a week away. And they're going to crown the ultimate queen. There's lots of people, when we talked about this last time, messaged us being like, I haven't watched the show, but I'm just starting to watch it.
Yeah.
We
just got it on New Zealand Netflix, so basically New Zealand is just catching
up. Like you kind of had to know or like illegally download it.
Yeah.
But I've illegally downloaded a lot of stuff.
I'm watching season 7 at the moment. They're all beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful season.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? I mean, we've kind of just said that they're cat, but without even like really pulling their idea apart further.
We don't always have to pull every idea apart.
We have to.
Okay, we're not your teachers.
But that ain't uni, mate. We're just going to give you the observation and
this
then
isn't a PhD. It's just a bit of fun banter.
Who are the gay heroes is the question. That's the question.
I think Christopher Reeve's Superman was pretty gay.
Mm.
Also, most superheroes,
Wonder
most
Woman.
Superman until recently, Wonder Woman, absolutely, she's gay for real. She's
bisexual, right?
Bisexual, yeah.
Love
which is
it.
Why it's kind of, I don't know about how I feel about in the movie she like falls for Chris Pine so quick, and you're like, oh.
Who wouldn't?
He's
the
what a resurgence. I feel like we all kind of forgot about him, and then suddenly everyone's like, Chris Pine is everything amazing.
He kind of looks a bit better, a bit rugged, I reckon.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
A bit rough, you know?
He's like 38.
Oh my God.
And he's never looked better.
He looks fantastic. I love a bit of a daddy, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Did you ever watch Lois and Clark? That was one of my favorite shows growing
with
up.
With Terry Hatcher
as Lois Lane.
Oh, there's lots of kind
and
of
Dean Cain as Superman.
There's lots of camp villains on Desperate Housewives.
Oh, yes. What's the name of that guy? And he's also in another movie at the same time. I can't remember. The guy who is... He marries Brie, right?
And yeah, another one. And also the blonde woman on the show.
Evie or Edie?
Yeah.
I think she's called Edie.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, love it. I loved when she became, like, they started putting her in the posters because they were like, she's the fifth Desperate Housewife.
But actually, we should just have a whole episode dedicated to Desperate Housewives.
I was crushing on Jesse Metcalf
so hard. He was like my yes. He was like,
I tell people that Eva Longoria is my favorite one because I was like, she's the most beautiful, but it was because
she got
she
to
was
pork him.
Boning
yeah.
him.
The amount of times I was searching, like, Jesse Metcalf. Shirtless. Oh my. Like all the, I'm like shirtless.
Oh my gosh.
Jesse Metcalf, shirtless. He was so hot.
He was so hot. He made me I think because of Jesse Metcalf, I was like, you have to
got
shave
to
your chest.
Oh right. I got into gardening.
Got into gardening. I had an amazing hedge work on my body hair. Whoa.
On my pubes. Yuck. I've said pubes in the last episode and in this episode, and it's gotta stop.
Nah.
Just say it.
No, pubes are never going away.
Unless you wax them
or laser them,
laser removal,
yeah,
which you know, up to you, basically.
It's up to person. We want it. We should do an episode on manscaping.
Oh yeah,
yes.
But yeah, Terry Hatcher is so interesting, right?
Oh my gosh,
she's wild. She's kind of, I put it on like a similar plane to Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah,
kind of like can't place her, always around, kind of not there.
Yeah,
but there's something about her that's ultimately fascinating.
She was getting paid the most on Desperate Housewives and deserved it.
Oh, she was working
also
long hours.
Good singer.
Oh yeah, she sung a bit on that show.
She sung a bit on the show.
I just loved her kooky character. It was always like falling out of windows and stuff.
She was like the Ross of Desperate Housewives. Like
Ross and her character would be great together.
They would.
Oh. Bring back Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Friends. It's a mashup show.
It's a mashup show. That would be
the Friends
worst.
Move to the burbs, or the Housewives move
to
New
York
City.
I love.
Oh my God.
You literally Desperate saying that gave me goosebumps.
Sometimes this podcast is just a brainstorming session
a
for the best ideas ever.
It's a space for you to like connect with gay men, but also a space for great ideas for new television shows.
Yeah.
We're there. We're a network.
Okay, so I think one of the reasons that villains are camp, right?
Yeah.
Is because, like what I was saying before, that type of human being does not exist in real life, really.
Right.
So I think that became a vehicle for actors, writers, directors to just go wild.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so camp. It's just like this free, it's a free opportunity to do something crazy.
Yeah, I agree. And there's also a kind of thing about like a grudge or a sort of a secret or a hidden past in these characters, which is like very relatable to people who've who've dealt with hiding their sexuality for a long time.
Totally.
These repressed feelings create like are also great combos for villainous characters, which is like kind of sad, but also just like they're our favorite characters in movies. So what's so sad about
them.
That?
I don't think you can reveal an evil plot without being a bit theatrical as well. Like, I don't think you can matter-of-factly be like, I've planted bombs on two separate boats and you must choose one to blow up.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm using... That's the Dark Knight. Which, when he reveals that, it's not camp at all.
Like, okay, so there's two boats.
Okay, Batman, you listening?
You listening, bitch? Okay, there's two boats. There's also two bombs. Get this, bitch. One bomb on one boat.
Two bombs, two boats, one heart, one decision to make. It's yours, Batman. Love you.
Love you. Peace, bitch. The Joker. JJ, the Joker.
Hey, it's me, Jared Leto's the Joker.
You hate me. Everyone hates me.
I'm the worst.
XX the Joker. Yeah, there is something very interesting about that, like revealing a plot and it not being like, there's like,
it's this, like a Bond villain thing as well.
Villains prepare their attacks like gay men plan parties. It's like totally. Basically how it works.
And it's all a bit
of... I get this at 11 p.m. the lights are off and we're all wearing white, which is when the UV lights get on.
Behind this curtain, I have stored 4 Shetland ponies that are ours for the evening.
Do with them what you want, but ride them only.
Yeah, no,
and nothing, with adult supervision.
Adult supervision, nothing sexual. That's terrible.
I love the idea of hosting a party and then revealing the plans. Like, thank you for coming, and thank you for bringing your blindfolds. Pick a partner and blindfold them. Lead them around the room. You'll notice a scent in every room.
I want you to name the scent, and whoever gets the closest answers to the scents that I put in those rooms.
The key.
And the key is to a basement.
The basement is filled with 4 kegs, each with a wine from a certain area in France.
If you compare the countries of each wine, then
you will get an avocado.
Inside the avocados, Pip
is in this
a tiny cassette tape.
Basically, you know that you're never going to get to the end of the party. There's just going to be more and more plans.
Yeah.
It's like a weird like hangover movie or something.
Yeah, and you're, when you're doing it, you're like, oh, God, I don't want to do this, but he put so much thought into this. We've got to do it.
Have you been to Jason's Christmas parties? They're amazing. They're so intense. But you need to take the week off. Not because you'll be hungover, because you'll be working till...
It's an escape room.
It's basically an escape room.
Parties are escape rooms.
That is a great theme for a party. It's like 10 shots.
We should set up our own escape room. So we've had so many good ideas.
We've had literally 100 this episode.
Yeah, it's been really good. We need to go and work on those.
Yeah, okay. So we've got a lot of work to do, but basically, like, look out for Eli and I's The Male Gaze escape room.
Yeah, coming soon.
Basically, you're in a big closet.
Yes, and you have to get out. And the answer... is yourself.
It's yourself. It's your. It's your truth. Your inner truth. That's what you find at the end.
You think it's math, but it's actually your inner truth.
It's like once you be yourself, you're able to get out of the room.
Yeah. And thank you so much to BigPipe.co.nz. They're our sponsor, and we love them.
We love them so much. They allow us to be ourselves.
Yeah, they do.
And we will let them be them.
And everything in our escape room is run on Big Pipe Engineer.
Thank you, Big Pipe.
Bye bye. I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.